when you are listening to this word, have a heart of expectation. Believe that there is something God can do in your life. Believe it in your heart and God will do it for you. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive our shepherd? Ladies and gentlemen, it is with Jesus' joy to welcome my pastor, my leader, my father, Pastor Pascal. Lift it up, 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 lift it up.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed? Please lift your hands and let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Thank you for all that you have in store for us right now. Father, I pray that your word will do a work only your word can do. Only you can do what no man can do. Therefore, Father, do it in our lives this morning. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise one more time. Before you sit down, I want us to declare our Sunday morning confession. Are you ready? Please take your Bible and let's say this together. Right where you are as you are still standing. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible. I am. Some of you are not saying it. I want us to say it together. Amen? Amen. Are you ready? Amen. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
Every promise in this book is mine.
Every chapter.
Every verse, one word from God can change my life forever. Today I will be taught the word. My mind is alert. My heart is ready. Everything I learn, I'll apply. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big shout of praise. You may be seated in his presence. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Nomuntla is going to help coordinate that for me. Amen. Tell your neighbor, reaching further. Now you have listened to a surpassing testimony. But I believe we're going to hear a lot of reaching further testimonies very, very soon. Hallelujah. Our foundational scripture on this series has been Proverbs 4, verse 18. And I pray that you will memorize this scripture. How many of you have memorized this scripture already? You see, a scripture cannot benefit you unless you know it. Reading it on the screen and having it in your heart are two different things. I want to encourage you, memorize that scripture. Meaning, know it in your mind and have it in your heart. That is the only time a scripture can really help you. Praise God. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining how? Brighter and brighter until midday. Amen? So we saw from this scripture that every child of God, a righteous person, is a child of God, somebody who gave their life to Jesus. Every child of God has a path. And the path of a righteous person, according to Proverbs 4:18, is brighter and brighter. This means, as a child of God, don't expect your life to go down. I repeat, don't expect your marriage to go down. Don't expect your academic studies to go down. Am I talking to the right people this morning? Don't expect your finances to go down. You receive what you expect. Don't expect your cell to go down. Don't expect the number of leaders in your cell to go down. Don't expect any down moment in your life. The path of a righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. I therefore decree the word of the Lord upon your life. You shall shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. I see you coming out of that pit in the name of Jesus. I see you coming out of that situation in the name of Jesus. You shall not stay there. Tell your neighbor, that's not your destination, whatever it is. Your destination is brighter and brighter. Hallelujah. You know, you need to learn to believe the word of God. Some of us have a very, very hard time believing the word of God. And unfortunately, until you believe God's word, there is nothing God can do. You have to believe the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, how do I shine brighter? Pastor, I hear you say that my path is supposed to shine brighter and brighter. But when I look at my path, Pastor, I don't seem to see a lot of shining. Well, what are the laws that govern your path shining? We find that law in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1. Arise, shine. You don't just shine. You first must arise before you can shine. Shining doesn't happen automatically just because you are a righteous person. There is a rising that must first take place before there can be a shining. Am I communicating? You have the potential to shine, but it is conditioned by you rising, first of all. So arise. Tell your neighbor, arise. If you said it powerfully, they were going to stand up at least. They are still sitting looking at you. Some didn't even hear you. Tell your neighbor, arise. Okay. Please take your seat. Before there can be a shining, there must be a what? A rising. Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, help us understand this mystery. It says, for a great door, an effectual, is open unto me. But there are many adversaries. There is an opportunity, but there are many challenges surrounding the opportunity. The door is not closed. The door is open. He says a great door and effectual is opened for me. But there is a problem. There are many adversaries. And I've been taking you through some of these adversaries for the past few weeks. The things that might cause a person to not enter through the door. Do you know what is a door? A door is a portal into a new dimension. A door is necessarily an opportunity to move from one step to another step. When you go through a door, it means you have changed levels. You have moved from the bedroom, maybe to the kitchen. And the realities of the kitchen becomes available to you. In the kitchen, there is a fridge. In the kitchen, there is a stove. In the kitchen, there is food. But you need to go through a door to access it. Without a door, opportunities get shut from you. I see God opening a door for somebody here, and I see you walking through that door in the name of Jesus Christ. You must learn to recognize open doors. There is no door here. I can spend the rest of my life here. I will never go anywhere. It's just a wall. You can beat this for the rest of your life. You will never move. And many of us are like that. We keep hitting a wall. Don't waste time on a wall. Find the door. The man of God, Paul says, an open door is right in front of me. How many of you can see an open door for you? Like you can sense something is about to happen. There's something that wants to happen with my life. Many times, people of God, I have felt something wants to happen. Your dreams can show you something wants to happen. You wake up in the morning and there is a wall. I came this morning to help you locate your door. I came this morning to help you overcome the adversaries that are standing in front of the door. Adversary number one we saw 2 weeks ago is your past achievements. The good things you've done can become an adversary for you to do something else. And God gave me this dangerous quotation. Don't allow your milestone to become your tombstone. Then last week I shared with you the second major adversary on your way is your past disappointments. Many people are standing in front of an open door, but the disappointment of the past has stopped them from walking through that door. Because whenever they want to take a step towards the door, they remember what happened 2 years ago. They remember how it happened 4 years ago. And they don't want to repeat the same story. Let me introduce you to adversary number three. This morning, I'm going to take you through them a bit faster. Because next week, it's International Sunday. Next week, I want to deal with the African door, the African door blocker. Yeah. All these doors I'm giving you, they are Western doors. Next week, tell your neighbor, next week Sunday, you must be here. Because next week Sunday, I'll show you the number one reason why African people struggle to go through a door. Please, if you don't wear your traditional attire, you will not understand the message very well. So you need to wear the traditional attire. So as I'm teaching, your traditional attire will be saying, Hallelujah, Amen, Hosanna, praise the Lord. Adversary number three, your present challenge. There is something fighting you right now. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. There is a challenge right now. Yeah, Pastor, I heard you talk about the past challenge, the past this. This. Now, let's talk about the one right now. Tell your neighbor, let's talk about the one Honano. Is it Honano or? The Honano one. Yeah. There is something fighting somebody here right now. Oh, yes. It's not a future challenge. And it's not a past challenge, it's a present challenge. Something that is looking at you to your face right now. It can be the reason why you're not shining. Not because the door is not open, not because you cannot shine, but the thing is stopping you from rising. The current challenge is stopping somebody from rising. But in the name of Jesus Christ, you are receiving capacity and increased ability to rise out of that challenge. Let me quickly show you something powerful. The man of God, Paul, that I love so much, he said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he says, no temptation. A temptation is a test, a challenge. Has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful. The first thing a challenge does is question the nature of God in your life. Every challenge that comes, the first thing you start thinking about is, I think God has forsaken me. I think I did something bad. I don't think God loves me anymore. You see, immediately the challenge starts coming, you start feeling as if God is far. But Paul says, God is faithful. I'm speaking to your current challenge. God is faithful. God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Say it one more time.
God is faithful.
He goes on to say, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Oh, pastor, I don't have money. We are broke. My husband left. They say, God is faithful. Yes. Pastor, nobody is working in our family. We are all struggling. Nothing is going on. God is faithful. He will never, if God knew you cannot handle it, you would have never gone and seen it. The simple fact that you are seeing it is a proof. Somewhere, somehow, inside of you, there is a capacity. God said, you are able. You are able. You are able. Say with me, I am able. I am able. I am able. Listen, if you were not able, God was never going to let it come. The present challenge. If you were not able, God was never going to allow. He said, God is faithful. He will not allow. So God allows it. Am I communicating? I said, God allows it. And before God allows it, he takes it to the balance. He checks it. Then he checks your ability. Then he makes calculations. Then he asks angel to multiply and subtract and divide and redeem. And when they do the equalization, they say, she's able. Let's allow it. That's why you are facing it right now. There is nothing that goes on in the life of a believer that God doesn't know about. Nothing. Oh, pastor, you don't know the troubles that I have. I don't need to know your trouble. I only know that God is faithful, and God will never allow you to go through a trouble that is bigger than yourself. I'm here to say, it doesn't matter how big it looks to you. It's because you don't know how big the God inside of you is. But I'm telling you this morning, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. He's able. I say, God is able. If your mentality can change this morning, and you start feeling bad about yourself, and you start feeling sorry about yourself, you sit around and cry instead of saying to yourself, listen, if God has allowed me to go through this, I lost my mother when I was 3, then I lost my father when I was 4, and I lost my uncles, and I find myself in the middle of nowhere, but there is a God in heaven who knows my life, and that God is able to do it. Your present challenge is not a challenge. He will not allow. God will not allow. Am I communicating? Yes. God will not allow. Satan came and told you, this one is unique to you. Nobody has gone through it before. No, there is no temptation that has overtaken you except what is common. Do you know that the thing you are facing is very common? Satan is telling you, you are a unique case. This case, nobody in the church is going through it. Can I shock you? I can give the microphone to 3 people here now. You will quickly realize you are going through nothing. You are going to tell your neighbor you are going through nothing. If I tell you my own, if I open my mouth and I tell you exactly what I'm going through, you will realize that you are going through nothing. It's common. And things that are common are cheap. The last time I checked, when something is common, it's cheap. And the Bible says your challenges are common. I therefore decree every challenge very cheap in the name of Jesus Christ. It's cheap. You are the one giving it value. You are the one increasing the value of something that is cheap. People that know value are not fooled. It's when you are coming from the village, then they show you a Hong Kong watch. You've never seen a real one before. Then they say to you, 5,000. You say, wow, 5,000. It's a bargain. You say, yeah, it's a very big bargain. 5,000. I mean, I was maybe 10,000. But that thing is 50 rent. God is able. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation, he will provide. My God is a provider. He will provide a way. Can I tell you something? Begin to look for the way. What is a way? A way is a method. God has a method to take you out of a challenge. A way means a methodology. A way is the method I'm going to use. The world has a way and God has a way. For you to break out of a challenge, you need to know the way. The Bible says the children of Israel knew the works of God and Moses knew the ways of God. And that's why every miracle came from Moses, not from them. Learn the ways. Father, what is your way to get me out of debts? What is your way to get me out of loneliness? What is your way to get me into a job? God has a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He walks in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. I see God making a way for somebody here. God is making a way. Listen, the children of Israel found themselves in the Red Sea. And the Egyptians are behind them. And they thought it is over. God says, if I don't say it is over, it is not over. I can make a way in the Red Sea. I can part the Red Sea in two. God made a way. You don't know the first time, but you know Paul said, I know the Lord will make
a way.
Oh, yes, for me. Answer, you know that one, all right? I know the Lord will do what? I see him making a way. He is 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 making a way. You are coming out of that thing. God is making a way. He is making a way. He is making a way. We don't make ways. We just walk in them. Many of you are trying to make ways. That's why you are not going anywhere. I don't make a way. I just check the way he already provided. And I start walking. He says, son, put a feet there. There, I put, and I'm out.
You are coming out so that you are able to bear it.
Adversary number four,
discouragement. What do I call it? Many people don't shine because they give up too early. Yeah. Actually, discouragement is the result of past achievements, past failures, and present challenges. When those three are combined, they create discouragement. A discouraged person has lost hope. They don't believe anymore. The drive is gone. The fire is extinguished. Can I tell you something about a discouraged person? He's already dead. He's just waiting for the formalities. You know, many people are already dead. They are just asking what is going to take them. It's just that they are negotiating. Is it a car accident or is it going to be a witch or a wizard or like what was going on? But actually, they are already dead. They've already dropped. That's what discouragement does. Kills the dreams before it even starts. You are walking around and people think you are alive. Meanwhile, inside, discouragement killed you. You stop pursuing. You stop fighting. You stop standing. Because of repeated mistakes and repeated failures, it produces discouragement. Oh, I remember very well when I got discouraged after I failed the driver's license for the second time. I'm telling you, I lost hope. Yeah. And when you lose hope, this is how you know you lose hope. You don't even want to see a truck. Even if it's not a driving school truck. Do you understand me? Every truck leads you to that event. So you wish you could remove all the truck out of the roads of South Africa and just deal with taxis and small cars. Then another thing you don't want to see for the rest of your life is a traffic cop's car. Why are all of you saying age like this? It's like the driver's license has been malaxing some of you. Yeah. Driver's license dealt with me. I lost hope. I didn't have the courage to take money again and go give again. I didn't have. But then I was listening to a pastor preach. I don't know why. This man started his preaching by saying, never give up in life. And he said, this is why you must never give up in life. There is a woman in South Korea who failed her driver's license 99 times. And before the 100th time, she got it. I said, oh. I rewind the tape. I said, say it again. He said, never give up in life. And this is the reason you should never give up in life. There is a woman from South Korea who failed her driver's license 99 times. I said, hey! 99. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 99. I just failed twice. I started kicking myself. I said, Wena Pascal, please wake up out of that thing that you are into right now. I said, I'm back, Mr. Driver's License. I am back. I mean, I haven't even reached 5 times. The woman has a track record 99 times. I went again for the 3rd time. And I got the license. Galatians 6 verse 9. So you must not get tired of doing good, for you will reap at the proper time if you don't give up.
cannot guarantee anything for a person who gives up. There's no guarantee. The only guarantee is failure. But show me a person who never gives up. I will show you a success about to happen. Show me a person who keeps coming back. I will show you a person who will be employed just now. Show me a person who is never deterred by anything. No matter how bad it looks, he keeps believing something greater is going to come out of it. I will show you somebody who will reach the skies. May that be your story in Jesus' name. May you go back to your drawing board and say, I refuse to give up. As long as I live, I will keep trusting God. As long as there is breath in me, I will keep pushing. I will keep moving. Oh, Pastor, you are talking about driver's license. But I gave this guy my heart. He took my heart. You guys know the rest. God is faithful. Maybe that guy had to break your heart so that the right guy can mend your heart. You something. Some people's job is to prepare. They are like John the Baptist. They prepare the way for the main guy. Now, anybody who left you, tell him you are John the Baptist. You are not Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist is preparing the way for my husband. The Bible says that the church belongs to Jesus. So John the Baptist came and people thought he is the main husband. Meanwhile, he's just a boyfriend. Don't cry over a boyfriend. Don't cry over a girlfriend. They are just John the Baptist. They are preparing the way for Jesus Christ, the main person that will come and he will say, hello, baby. You understand? Don't give up. 2 weeks ago, I saw the wedding of a woman. She is 44 years. 44. She's been in the church for about 26 years. Trusting God for a husband. 26 years. When she reached 44, I don't know why that Jesus Christ, you know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming soon. That is soon. So you just wait. Tell your neighbor, wait, not just wait. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. She could have given up and said, I'm leaving this church. She stayed there and continued serving God. When they need a car, she makes a car available. And she's paying her debt monthly, continuously. And at 44, she's already has gray hair. The breasts were up. Then when she was 20, they were straight. Now she's 40, they are going down like this. When she looks at herself in the mirror, she says, I'm a lost case. And then she enters the church as she always does. And she comes and does a little thing as she always does. And God opened the eyes of Jesus Christ. Said, wow. Where have you been all these years? But don't you worry. It is not over. I'm now here. I'm going to marry you. Hallelujah. Receive your marriage in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Number 5. a broken altar. I'm giving you barriers to your shining. A broken altar. What do I mean by a broken altar? Prayerlessness. Brothers and sisters, this is the reason why many lives don't shine. There is no prayer altar in his life. You guys all know I turned 40 this year, so I can tell you something a bit about life. I have noticed money doesn't answer everything. I can tell you that very well. You are thinking you need money. You will be surprised. After you have money, you still have no peace. You'll be surprised. You are thinking you need a job. But I guarantee you, the job is going to come. And it will interest you to realize that after the job, things haven't changed much. What brings joy and happiness and success? It's not money. It's not even marriage like some of you think. It's the presence of God. It's God. Do you have an altar of prayer?